attention to God's word to us.
Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So far, God's word. And let's ask him for a blessing on this word that we've just heard this morning. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this word that you've given to us this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this example of praise to you. And as we consider this passage this morning, may we consider especially who you are, what value we place of you in our lives, how we are to live our lives in light of the truth that we're about to hear. Open our hearts this morning, we pray. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a number of years ago, I had the privilege of being able to attend a rugby game between the Highlanders and the Hurricanes. And yes, the Highlanders won this time. And that's not why I'm telling you the story. We went to a game at the Cake Tin in Wellington. And it was fascinating to see the tos and fros of the match. When a penalty was given against the Hurricanes, all the Hurricanes around us in the crowd were going, "Oh, ref! Why did you give that penalty?" And I had to resist the temptation to make a bit of fun that it had gone against the Hurricanes. But the exact reverse thing happened when the Highlanders had a penalty against them. And I was the one saying, "Oh, ref, come on, that wasn't a fair decision." You see, who we support, what we believe, changes our perspective, changes the way we look at things. It's the same in politics. If you're a diehard Labour supporter, the Labour government can do no wrong. If you're a National supporter, Labour can't do anything right. And it's the same with how we view our God. If our God is a Santa Claus who gives us only good presents, then when he doesn't give us what we want, we get upset with him. If we have a picture of our God as the friendly grandfather, and all you grandfathers know what this is like. When your grandchild does something naughty, you kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Isn't that cute? Or we'll overlook it this time. If your picture of your father is that he is a horrible authoritarian, then that's going to change your perspective of God as a father. So who is your God is the question we're asking this morning.
What view do you have of the God who you worship? Do you share Hannah's view this morning? Because the view of what you that you have of your God shapes how you live before Him, how you serve Him. So this morning we're going to see that Hannah reminds me who my God is. Hannah reminds me who my God is. And I'm not just talking about myself. This morning I want you to say, yes, this is my God. This is who I believe in. Because Hannah's prayer is an incredibly personal one. She's reflecting what God has done for her. And not only for her, she reflects on the promise of God's care for the people of Israel. So let's spend some time looking at Hannah's prayer this morning under that idea that Hannah reminds us who my God is. And just before I launch into point number one, can you hear me okay at the back? Good. I see some nods. That means you can hear me. That's fine. Good. It just sounds a bit quiet for me up here, but everyone's okay? Good. Thumbs up. A few nods. Excellent. So our first point this morning is that my God cannot be compared. And that's the first three verses of our passage this morning. Hannah here sings a song of praise. Praise for the blessing of God's provision of Samuel for her. My heart rejoices in the Lord. But then she says something very curious. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. Now, boys and girls, what does a rhinoceros have on its nose? Can someone tell me? What does a rhinoceros have on its nose? Owen. He has, or she has, a horn. And if you think about it, that's what makes the rhinoceros look so big and powerful, isn't it? Think about an elephant with its tusks. You see, horn in the Bible is a symbol for strength. It's a symbol for power. So what Hannah is saying here as she says this, and she says it in verse 1, and she also comes back to it again in verse 10 at the end of her prayer. God has made me strong. God has given me deliverance. I delight, she says, in your deliverance of me. Now for Hannah, this was an answer to her prayer and the provision of the baby Samuel. But there's also the idea here that Hannah is praying for Israel. For the nation of Israel. There's a sense here in our passage, and we saw that again last week, that God is about to do something different, something special in the nation of Israel. Samuel is going to be used by God to bring salvation to the nation of Israel. Samuel is going to judge Israel for a number of years, but he's also going to anoint Saul. Saul, who will be the first king of Israel. Things have a bit of a false start with Saul, we see. But Samuel also anointed David. And it was through David that deliverance truly came for the nation of Israel. Rescue from the Philistines. But Hannah's prayer, brothers and sisters, also includes us. As this prayer, and we shall see that as we go through the passage, is also a pointing towards our salvation. To the king that comes to save us. So can you say this morning with Hannah, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength comes from God who saves me. Can you say that this morning? Hannah goes on to describe her God in verse 2 with three phrases. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one pure, no one righteous, no one as good as the Lord. There is no one, she says, besides you. God cannot be compared, is not equal to anyone because he is above everyone and anything. There is no rock, she says, like our God. The idea of a rock is a firm foundation, a solid foundation. The idea here that if we trust in God, we too will have that firm foundation. Our God is a God who doesn't change. He is a God who cannot be moved. He is a God who keeps his promises and sticks to his purposes. So Hannah is saying there is no other option for people to trust him. And that's not the wisdom that we read or hear from the world today, is it? People may say, well, you've got your God, but I've got mine. I've got Allah. I'm going to trust in him. Or I don't need God. I'm going to trust in myself. But Hannah says no. No, there is only one God. There is no one else like God. Can you say that? Can you say this morning, there is only one God? No one else is equal. No one else is equal in my life. And in light of this picture of God, Hannah gives a warning. Do not keep talking so proudly, she says there in verse 3, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. The picture here is of that brave person bragging. How strong they are, how tough they are, how they could take anyone on in a fight. How they can take a particular person on in a fight. And all the while as they're saying this, this bigger person, this stronger person is standing behind them, looking down on them. They talk a good game, but what happens when they turn around and see this opponent who's so much bigger and stronger? That will be the case for every single person who boasts, I don't need God, I can do without God. I'm doing just fine in my own life, thank you very much. Hannah warns them. Hannah warns you this morning, if that's you. The Lord is a God who knows. He sees you. He hears you. He is weighing up what you are doing. Is this the picture of how you see God this morning, brothers and sisters? Like Hannah, can you rejoice in his deliverance, his salvation for you? I hope so. But if that's the case, how do people know? Can people tell that you have an incomparable God? Do you tell them? A God who is all powerful, a God that drives you to worship. Now, as Reformed people, we sometimes make the joke about how we worship. And the joke goes something like this. Well, yeah, we worship and we have all our joy tied up in the inside. We're rejoicing on the inside when we sing. But the more that I think about that, it actually becomes less and less funny. Because do we really feel that joy? Do we really show that joy as we worship our God? I don't know. I know I don't as much as I should. Now, I'm not saying we need to dance, we need to clap, we need to hold our hands up high. We don't need to. But I am saying we should reflect and think about how we worship, how we show that joy that we proclaim that we have. Can we shout it aloud? Can we sing it aloud like Hannah does here in this song, in this prayer? Do you really feel that joy? Do you show that joy? Hannah talks about her incomparable God, a God who is above everything, everyone, but she has more to say to us this morning. Our second point this morning is that my God transforms. Now, society today has its values. As we look at my God transforms, there are values in society. The values of power, prestige, honour. In New Zealand, who are honoured? The rich, the famous. And it was the same way in Israel in those days. Now, they didn't have rugby back in those days, but in those days, one of the people who were most respected was the mighty, strong warrior. Someone who was serving in the army of Israel. The mother who had children was shown honor. And in fact, in those days, if you had no children, it was considered a curse. To be infertile, they said, was to be punished by God. Now, that's a wrong idea, but that's how the people thought. If you couldn't have children, you were of no value to society. That was the idea. Again, that's a wrong idea. But that's what people were told. That's what people believed. But God comes to Hannah and takes these values and turns them upside down on their head. Look at the picture of what God is doing, boys and girls, with me in verses 4 and following. The bows of the warriors are broken. But those who are not so good warriors, those who have stumbled, they are the ones who become strong. What happens, boys and girls, to those who are full? Those who had big, full stomachs, who weren't hungry, they become what? What do they become? They become
cuddly.
Cuddly? That's why we ask the children, isn't it? They become hungry. No, thank you, Marco. They become hungry. God reverses it. And those who are hungry, hunger no more. The mother who couldn't have children bore 7 children. But she who had many sons pines away. Longs, feels unsatisfied is what that means. God is turning. God turns everything upside down on its head. Who does all this? God does. The Lord who is in control of everything. And Hannah goes on in verse 6. The Lord brings death and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. She's praising God for doing this for her. Now remember here too that this family, the family of Elkanah and Hannah and Samuel, is a family that is showing a picture of what's going to happen in all of Israel through the book of 1 Samuel. There's the picture here of Israel under oppression, being oppressed by the Philistines. Who has the power to reverse the situation of the Israelites? God does. And here is a hint of what God is going to do. He's going to turn things on their head. And there's a picture here for you and I here this morning as well. The Lord, our God, our Father, brought death to his Son and made him alive for us. So that we who are in a dead and sinful state have been made alive. If we listed our spiritual status on Facebook before Jesus Christ, our status would be dead. But after Jesus Christ, our status would be in a relationship. In a relationship with Jesus Christ. Alive, living. This is what God does for us. He makes us alive. He raises us up from the dead. He raises we who are poor from the dust, lifts us up from the ash heap of our sin. He seats us up with princes. He has given to us, and there is waiting for us, a throne of honor in heaven. How can he do all this? Because he is God. Because he is the creator of all things. Because he is God Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the Lord over everything. That's what Hannah says there in verse 8 in the second half. But with that comes a promise. A promise to those of his children, but also to those who refuse to be his children. There in verse 9. He will guard the feet of his saints. We have God's promise that as he continues to transform us, as he works in our lives, he will walk with us. But also God's promise to those who deny him, who refuse to accept him, that you will be silenced in darkness. Punishment is coming for you. Hannah says, my God transforms. And brothers and sisters, our God transforms us. That's his promise to us. He who begins a good work in us is continuing to bring that work in us to the final point, to completion. And if we have a God that turns everything that the world holds valuable, power, wealth, material things, if God takes that, turns it on his head, and says it means nothing, it is of no value, then should we have those things as our goal in life? If it's not important to God, why is it important to us? What do you consider important in life? And if God has power over life, and God has power over death, then we need not worry about our lives. Because he knows the number of our days. He knows what's going to happen in our life, and we have his promise that he'll walk through us every step of the way, and that when he calls us home, it'll be at just the right time for him. So can you see God's transforming like work in your life? Can you see and say like Hannah that I have a God who turns things on its head, who lifts me up, who looks after me? Can you place your trust in him? It's a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, that we have a God who's continuing, who promises that he will continue to work and transform us. At the moment, I've just begun coaching a hockey team, coaching Zara's team with a number of other young girls. And it's been a little bit of a rough start to the season, but week by week, they get better and better. And it's exciting to see how they get better at handling that hockey stick. It's also exciting to see what's coming in the future. That we can know that week after week, they're going to get better and better. They're going to gel as a team. Their skills are going to get better. And it's like that for us in the Christian walk. Sure, we have some rough patches, some rough games, some rough times. But God is at work in us. And he's getting us ready for our future in eternity. Isn't that exciting? My God transforms. My God cannot be compared to anyone or anything else, Hannah says. But finally, and that's our third point this morning, Hannah says, my God is victorious. My God is victorious. And that's there in verse 10. The last part of verse 9 and verse 10. Now, I'm not one for spoilers. I don't want to know what happens at the end of the movie. I don't want to know what happens at the end of a book. I like to read through it and wait and see. But there is one thing, one area that I think that spoilers are okay. We've just finished in our senior catechism class a journey through the Bible. And we came to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is just one huge, big spoiler for us. Here's a test now for those in my senior catechism class. What two words do we say to describe the book of Revelation? Can someone tell me? Sean. Jesus wins. Brave lad. Thank you, Sean. Jesus wins. That's how it all ends. God is victorious. And that's what Hannah knows too. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. At this point in her prayer, Hannah is well beyond her own situation. She's well beyond the nation of Israel. She's speaking about the end times when Jesus returns. when all will be judged, when we will learn and live and breathe that victory that is not just Jesus Christ, the victory that is ours. How does Hannah win? She wins through the king. Now, yes, there was no king yet in Israel, but that king was coming. Saul was the first king. David was really the first true king. And David was the example of the lowly shepherd whose horn was exalted, and he became king over the nation of Israel, united the nation of Israel. But he wasn't the greatest king. There was another king came who was humbled, who was humiliated, but also was raised up by God, his heavenly Father. And it's of this king that we've already sung this morning, and it's this king that Mary sings about in Luke chapter 1. Turn there if you have your Bibles open with me. Luke chapter 1. I've got to read this song of Mary, and notice just how similar the song is to the one that Hannah sang. Luke 1 verse 46. Mary sang this. Luke 1:46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. This is the king that Hannah prophesied. This is the king that Mary's song echoed. This is the king that points us to our ultimate victory that will be ours. But yet we have to wait to fully experience that victory, don't we? But in the meantime, this morning we're asked the question, do you believe in this God? Do you see God in the same way as Hannah did? If so, no matter what trials you go through, no matter what struggles you have, no matter how many times you were brought low and humbled, there will always be the end time, the ultimate time, when you will be lifted up in and for eternity. Because our God is victorious. So do you spend time thinking about your God? Thinking about a God who cannot be compared? A God who transforms you? A God who is victorious for you? I know I should do so more. And if I reflected on who my God was more, it would help me face my life and be much, much better equipped to deal with the trials and struggles that I have in my life. It would also help me look at my priorities. The things that are so valuable in this world, our possessions, our jobs, our careers, all of that pales in comparison. All of that will be made low compared to the glory that we will have in Jesus Christ. So the question we're asked this morning is, where are your priorities? Do you serve a God who is a rock? Because he is a rock, nothing can get to us. Do you serve a God who holds you safe? Because if we're in Jesus Christ, we are part of that rock. Do you look forward to delighting with him in that victory in eternity? If that is true, if you can say with me this morning, yes, yes, that is my God, then you don't need to hold so tightly onto the things of this world and this earth. Who is your God, brothers and sisters, friends this morning? How are you going to live your life this week, knowing that you live before, that you serve, a God who cannot be compared to anyone and anything, a God who transforms you, who lifts you up, a God who has won the victory for you. Amen. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we need to confess that our view of you is far, far, far too small. Help us to see afresh this morning. Help us to leave this morning with a better picture again of you. Help us, Lord, to not try and compare you to anything else or to hold anything else more dear for you than you, because you are above all things. We praise you because you have given us our deliverance. You have given us our salvation. We praise you that there is no one holy like you and there is no one beside you. And we praise you and thank you that you are the rock and that you are our rock. We thank you that you transform us in our lives, that you lift us up from our sins, but also that you are working in our hearts through your Holy Spirit to prepare us for glory, to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. May our priorities in life, Heavenly Father, reflect your priorities. May we hold valuable and dear the things that you hold valuable and dear. Forgive us for the way that we hold too tightly onto the things that are of no value in your economy, our possessions, our relationships, the things that we own and have and the things that we want. Not that they are bad in themselves, but help us, Lord, to have your goals as our first and foremost, our primary priority. Help us to spend some time this week reflecting, how am I living my life in light of who you are and what you have done for me? We praise you and we thank you and we hold on to and we look forward to the victory that's already been won for us. But we look forward to that day when we will share in that victory. When the Lord will come and judge the ends of the earth and he will look at us and say, judge righteous, holy, good, perfect because of Jesus Christ. And in that same thought, Heavenly Father, we pray that those who are walking away from you, those who do not want to know you, that they too may have their hearts turned, that they too may be able to share in this very victory that we are hanging on for, that we are holding on to. We praise you that you are victorious. We thank you that you have obtained that victory, not just for yourself, but that you have obtained it for us. We pray this with thanks, humbly before you. In Jesus' name, amen.